The time now is 7 o'clock. It's WBAI, New York.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sansara Taylor with We Only Want the World. Please follow me on Twitter at Sansara Taylor, and you can tweet me your questions or comments throughout the program. I'll be responding live on air. Thanks for joining us this Saturday evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Mueller report. It is finally out, and while there are significant passages that are redacted, and even as most of us haven't read all the 400-plus pages, there is a lot that has been revealed that we need to dig into. And this report, this Mueller report, 22 months in the making and all the attention that's been focused on it, it is significant. It's a significant move within, and it reflects huge clashes within the ruling forces of this society. So tonight we're going to probe the meaning of all this. We're going to be guided by three critical questions. First, what is this report and its significance? What is really going on with this? Second, why is this huge struggle at the top of society and the ruling structures of society going on? Why is it so sharp? What does this reflect? What's deeper underlying all of this? And third, and critically flowing from all this, where do the interests of the people lie? And the people in this country, but as we always say on this program, we only want the world. Where do the interests of the people of the world lie? So to get into all this with you tonight, I'm very pleased to be joined by my friend and comrade, Andy Z. Andy Z is the spokesperson for Revolution Books up in Harlem. He's an advocate for the new communism that has been forged by Bob Avakian, and he is, together with myself, a co-initiator of the organization RefuseFascism.org. Andy Z, welcome to We Only Want the World.
Sansara, good to be with you. Good to be on the radio and a Saturday evening in New York while you and I are sitting in sunny California as part of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour.
That's right. That's right. We are out here, and in a few weeks we'll be in New York, and then we'll be telling everybody on air about what we're doing there. So definitely I'm looking forward to that. But yes, we are right now in LA. And for everybody listening, I just want to remind you that a little bit later in the show, we'll be opening up the phone lines and inviting you into the conversation. So get ready. And again, throughout the program, you can tweet at me at Sansara Taylor with comments for Andy or myself. So Andy, let's talk about what's going on with this Mueller report. This is a big nodal point. It's a big flash point. And I think probably the best thing to do would be to just start with, what's your take? What do you think this report reflects? What are the macro observations or lessons we should draw from this? And then we'll just kind of dive in a little deeper to some of the particulars.
Well, Sansara, you're precisely right that this actually is a big deal. But before I get into what I'm thinking about this, I do want to have a little caveat here, which is that at this point, I've not read the whole report. I've only read excerpts and those that are filtered through references and citations by other journalists and legal scholars who have worked through much more of the report than I have. But I do want to say that besides that, I want to do that. Everybody who opposes the Trump-Pence regime and everyone who wants to live in a world that gets beyond the kind of society where those in power get to define the truth, we do need to find out in relation to any major thing that happens in society, and certainly with this report, to find out what it actually says. But that said, this is what I'm taking at this point from this report, which is a little different than how the media puts it. But first of all, I think one of the things, the values of the report, is that it does assemble in one place serious evidence of what Trump and his regime have done in regard to Russia and its work to influence the 2016 election. And there's two things in that. One, you know, the media has had a lot of focus on the subversion of the election. And obviously, that's a big concern since that's to the whole political setup in this country, since that's where they get a lot of their legitimacy from, or at least they assert it comes from that, even as it comes more from the brute force that they enforce it with. And the fact that Trump's campaign welcomed this all the way through, that's also in the report, even if there's no overt evidence in the report of actual cooperation. Second, in relationship to this first point, the whole strange series of things that Trump was saying, where he was being soft on Russia, very favorable to Putin, that went along with it, coincided with major changes that he and his regime were making to what has been in the past U.S. foreign policy, with relying on NATO and alliances to constrain their adversaries, such as Russia, and in particular Russia, and instead going to a situation of casting aside those multilateral alliances and instead going towards, you know, straight-up assertion of U.S. interests. So this is a very big difference in how the U.S. has, over a whole historical period since World War II, gone after asserting its imperialist interests internationally. And so, to me, on this first point, this report does reinforce the analysis that we've had. This is a dramatic shattering of the norms of what has been this capitalist imperialist system, with all the brutality and oppression that's meant to people of the world, with a much more aggressive, bellicose, and transactional and dangerous fascist foreign policy. So that's my first point. Second, the Mueller report does present real evidence of the subversion of what have been the prevailing way that the U.S. ruling class has ruled, particularly in relationship to the rule of law. You know, Trump, you can see through this, his impulses are that of a monarch, no regard for what have been longstanding governing principles regarding the separation of powers between the branches of government, and as well as within the executive branch itself in terms of the independence of the Justice Department. Now, all of these separation of powers historically and up to the present day, and certainly under Obama and Clinton and the Democratic regimes, have been very pliable when these sections of the ruling class have seen their fundamental interests threatened, either by foreign reasons or because of contradictions in the system or the struggle of the people. And last, while this is not a new thing, this report does actually once again show the complete disregard of the truth, regarding combined with the methodology on Trump's part of victimization and aggrievement. And these two things, the complete disregard of the truth and objective reality and this aggrievement, are the foundations of the gestalt, if you will, of fascism. So overall, I think what you have with this report is a further consolidation of information that deepens our understanding of the danger of the fascist future that this regime is bringing into being. And while we are going to have to get deeper into what underlies this and I did just want to say, I know I've been going on for a little bit here, that this presents a lot of necessity to every force, to Trump, to go full bore ahead, to his fascist regime and social base. You could see that in the headline of yesterday's New York Post, you know, full vindication, the ravings of Hannity and Tucker Carlson, to the Democrats. What are they going to do? And to governments and forces internationally. And it presents tremendous necessity to people here who oppose this regime and, in short, to humanity. I'm going to be brief here, but there's two urgent things that I feel that I want to say right at the outset of your program. One, there's a need for those who do see the roots of this regime in the whole history of America, founded on white supremacy and genocide and patriarchy, and in the system that exploits and oppresses people here and around the world, and all of this which has given rise to a Trump-Pence regime and this huge fascist base, that right now there's a need to step up agitation for the need to overthrow this system and for an actual revolution, for people to get organized into that revolution, which is why you and I are out here in Los Angeles. And at the same time, people can get deeper into that by getting into the work of Bob Avakian, particularly his film on the Trump-Pence regime and his film on why we need an actual revolution, how we can really make revolution, which are both available at revcom.us. as well as for people to get into the program of Refuse Fascism, which you and I both co-initiated, that is calling for people to get out into the streets and organize now to get out in the streets as soon as possible in sustained protest that continues week after week, day after day, night after night, whatever it takes until this regime is removed from office. So that's my sort of overarching take on what we can learn from this report.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying, and I think that I am, I just want to kind of respond to it and see if I could distill some of these thematics. Is one, there's some major precedent shattering dimensions that are revealed in this report, both in a ripping up of the U.S.'s approach, the Trump-Pence regime's approach to international relations, and in the trampling of what have been ruling class norms within the country. So there's shattering of multilateralism internationally and all this alarm over the relationship to Russia. And then there's a lot of assault revealed in here about Trump's assault on law enforcement, regular institutions. There's a lot of concern about that in the news and all many pundits. And then there's the dimension of the grotesque lies, the aggrievement, the false victimhood, all of this that's been revealed. Is that, I know I'm simplifying.
Yeah,
what you're
no,
saying,
that's,
but I'm just,
that's,
yeah, I think it's helpful because this is a huge amount and it's not normal. So I just think it's helpful to kind of pull these out.
Yeah. You know, I'm listening to you, condensing it. And it's actually the fact that there is such a report in and of itself should indicate to you or to one just how serious a situation we face, even as this report and investigation is not all that it could have or should have been. And even as by itself, it never could, never was intended to, and never will be settling the question of how, in fact, we get rid of the Trump-Pence regime.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about as well, because, you know, you sort of have a lot of different responses to this report. On the one hand, you have, as you were citing, there's Trump declaring he's been vindicated. There's the fascists who are out there, you know, on calling for investigations of the investigators, calling people treasonous, saying, you know, it's stepping up the same kind of assault that's actually documented in this report. Then you have a section, not the dominant section as of yet, but a section and important voices within the Democratic Party. Elizabeth Warren stands out saying that this should be the impetus for impeachment hearings. And there are real reasons. There's a real assault on the institutions of U.S. bourgeois rule that are documented here. And so she is advocating that. There's other voices advocating that. And then I think there's been there's also, I don't know that it's that articulated in the mainstream media, but there is a question that gets posed for people who actually are not enthralled with the Democrats, who are not enthralled with the bourgeois ruling class institutions. And why does this matter? Is this of concern to the people that there's a huge fight at the top? How, I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think so. I just want to back up for one second to be clear for the listenership. The report does not talk about the fascist measures that Trump has taken. The report is constructed to get into the facts of the involvement with Russia, whether or not there was cooperation with Russia and various other matters that were a part of this. And in fact, one of the disappointments people have had with the report is that Mueller began his report on the assumption that he would not issue any finding that would lead to an indictment, since he was going to follow the recent tradition over the last couple of decades of that you don't indict a sitting president. So he never even intended to and didn't conduct his investigation in such a way as to come up with a finding of indictment.
Yeah,
that doesn't
That's
mean there's
really
nothing
important
in the report. But there, you know, there's stuff in the report. Doesn't mean we should ignore the report in terms of what it does say. But there is a need for further investigation. And actually, he kicked the ball over to Congress in the sense that that is a body that can impeach a president or a official on the basis of what they call high crimes and misdemeanors, and that essentially becomes a political choice. So that's just a lead up to your question, which was, again, what are the interests of humanity? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, and how does that relate? You know, well, I think a lot of people were hoping, a lot of people who don't like the Trump-Pence fascism, I mean, for 2 years now, have been hinging and frankly led to hinge a tremendous amount of hope on Mueller. I think Michelle Goldberg mm-hmm. in the New York Times starts her column with that. I don't know how many people remember it, but I remember that video that circulated on Twitter of, it was really high production value of all the principals of the Trump-Pence regime being arrested by the FBI, and it had the thematic, it's Mueller time, and it was beautifully constructed, and a lot of people were sending it around. I think it got millions of views. And so for the last 2 years, there's been a huge amount of hope and expectation invested in Mueller that he would somehow stop the Trump-Pence nightmare. And in fact, a lot of that is now, I think, being transferred to some degree to these calls for impeachment from Elizabeth Warren. And it's serious that this is being discussed. It's not unimportant. And yet at the same time, it's not identical to the interests of the people and what it will really take to stop the Trump-Pence regime. So that's the question I'm posing.
Yeah. Well, actually, you're just right about that. Look, I think this is where you do have to pull the lens back a bit and really take a look at what is happening here. You know, as we've said for some time, refuse fascism, and this is in Babovikian's speech on the Trump-Pence regime must go, we're not calling this regime fascism as a fascist as a form of insult, but as actually mm-hmm. a statement of that this is a different form through which a capitalist imperialist ruling class rules. They much prefer, usually prefer, to rule through through elections, parliamentary procedure, all of which basically leave the interests of the masses aside, and essentially become a way that they work out arrangements among themselves as to how to more efficiently move forward with their program of essentially depending upon the exploitation of people. And in a country like the U.S., from its very inception, it's been rooted in the tying together of capitalism with white supremacy, in the genocide of the native peoples, in the theft of Mexico, and most especially in the its roots in slavery, and then the continuation of that oppression and white supremacy against particularly black people, you know, through Reconstruction, betrayal of Reconstruction, and the new Jim Crow, as Michelle Alexander has called it. So all of this has been, it's a fascist regime that that is moving to discard those, what you would call bourgeois democratic norms of civil rights, democratic rights, through a much more reliance on executive decision, open reliance on terror and violence, trampling on these rights, and wielding the power of the state, as well as mobilizing organized groups of, as we've put it, fanatical thugs to commit atrocities against the masses of people, which, of course, we're seeing increasingly both 2 summers ago in Charlottesville, and then, even right now, there's vigilantes in New Mexico rounding up immigrants and turning them over to INS. But to get to the heart of your question, look, for the last 2 years, the Mueller report has been playing a role of paralyzing and diverting people from the kind of struggle they need to actually wage. And that is how the opposition to in the Democratic Party to the Trump-Pence regime, that's what they do not want to mobilize their base of people, of all women, oppressed nationalities, all to go action, really struggle, except in highly choreographed situations. But at the same time, fascism cannot advance. It advances not only through suppressing the people, but also they have to suppress their opposites in power, the Democrats, or if you look to the analogy to Germany, to the Weimar Republic. And they really do have to completely neuter this, if not destroy that section. So for that reason, the Democrats and the mainstream Republicans did get behind this Republican former FBI chief doing what they would consider a factual report. And as I said, he slanted it a certain way, but there's still quite a bit in this that we can mine, but have to understand that the only way this is really going to come to any result that would be in the interest of the people is if there's a kind of mass struggle from below that actually fights for the whole regime to be driven from power. And even for impeachment to succeed, you would need that kind of movement because just the mathematics of conviction has to happen within the Senate. And besides which, you still got Pence, who's actually at the core of a whole Christian fascist movement. And so, you know, I'd like to get even more into this, but I don't want to just, you know, maybe we can.
Well, I think what would be good. Let me make a comment, and then I want to play something that I think will help us go deeper into this. Is that there's a real, I think it's important for us to really appreciate how significant a fight is underway within the ruling structures of this society. It is not normal. The kinds of things that are revealed in this report that Trump has done, the demanding of the obstruction, the assault on his own attorney general, the ordering his lawyer to lie and to, or not ordering, but pushing, you know, a lot of the things that are revealed in this are extreme on the one side. They are indicative of a fascist regime, the obliteration and the assault on the truth, all of this. And then the fact that such a report was commissioned, that such a report was carried out, that this was compiled, that this was put out to the world, that there are calls for impeachment, what has emerged is not a minor, it's not an everyday occurrence. This is not normal. And yet, the fight that's underway, and the Democrats have profound differences with the Republicans in how to handle and how to maintain their empire and their system, but their interests, and this is very important, are not the interests of the people. The interests of the Democratic Party and the interests of the mainstream imperialists in the ruling class fighting this they're fighting it from their own perspective, from a different view of how to maintain and preserve their empire and their system. And part of that includes pacifying and corralling the very people whose interests actually do correspond to driving up this regime and more fundamentally to making a revolution to end this whole system, which is frankly why the Democrats, as much as they oppose Trump and Pence, are equally opposed or even more deeply opposed to the people on the bottom being mobilized to struggle, which is not the case for the Trump-Pence base. They're not afraid of mobilizing their fascist base because they actually want the same things that they've mobilized their fascist base to desire, the white supremacy, the anti-immigrant, the lock up the Democratic Party, the sending pipe bombs to them. That's all. They don't have a big difference between the views of the Trump-Pence regime at the top and their social base. But the Democratic Party does. They have a profound divide. They have a divide with the Trump-Pence regime on one level, but they have a more profound divide between their interests and the interests of the social base they claim to represent. And so this is a thing that I think is really important to grapple with. So the terms on which the Democrats are fighting are very, very dangerous and will not, if the people leave it to them, it's going to cause great harm. So this is, I'm myself drawing from things that I've drawn from the work that Bob Avakian has done, analyzing over decades, the emergence and the rise of fascism in this country. But I want to play an excerpt from BA where he's discussing this dimension of the fascist program. And they actually do, part of the fascist program is to break the norms and how we should understand that and respond to that. So let's go to this clip and then we'll come back at the other end and talk a little bit more.
You know, the fascists are going about trampling on and breaking down and destroying all these norms of how things are supposed to be done because they have to in order to implement their program. If they play by the rules as they've been, they'll get bogged down and they won't be able to implement what they're setting out to do. So they're trampling on and breaking down all these norms, and the answer of the Democrats is we will oppose them by upholding all the norms that they're destroying. We will use all the norms that they're destroying to oppose them. You know, that's like somebody, you know, set your house on fire and burn your house to the ground, and you say, I'm going to use my house as a base from which to oppose those people who burned it down. You know, this is the idiocy, because they are that section of the ruling class. That's how they believe that the only way that society should be run, number one. And number two, they are deathly afraid of people breaking out of those norms and, you know, taking to the streets and doing what people have done anytime there has been any meaningful change, even short of revolution. You know, they're deathly, they don't, you know, if there's protest at all, it has to be very, you know, choreographed and ritualized and within a certain framework, and it always has to be brought back to be sure you go out and register and vote. This is, you know, the, you know, people take to the streets, you know, around the whole, Trump and women, you know, the Women's March. Be sure you vote, you know. All these youth pour out into the streets after this school shooting in Florida. Be sure you go out and vote. I mean, it's like they want to keep everything within these channels, and they're deathly afraid of people breaking out of those channels. And that's exactly what needs to happen if there's going to be any meaningful chance to actually, you know, prevent this fascist regime from further consolidating its rule and carrying out its horrific program. So the people who understand that now need to be very bold, not only in getting that message out, but without being reckless, also be very bold in act in what they do, in their actions. What you do, as well as what you say, has to be consistent with what you recognize and what you say the actual risks and stakes are of this situation. If that's my point about coming off conservative, as if you're conservative. If you say things are very extreme, the dangers are very great, the risks are very high, but then you act as if that's not the case, then there's even less chance people are going to take you seriously. So you have to, in everything we do, we have to challenge people, not stupidly, not in an infantile manner, not in a way that, you know, just sort of needlessly and gratuitously insults people, but in a way that challenges them, in a way that both challenges and provokes and inspires them. And that goes for everything. That goes for building this mass movement to drive out this regime through nonviolent but sustained massive protest. And it goes for the whole revolution and building that revolution. You have to be acting in a way that's consistent with what you say the problem and the solution is, and not in a way that contradicts it and makes people think that you don't really believe it. So I think there needs to be a lot more of, you know, a lot of times small things can contribute to big things eventually happening or happening even soon. You know, it's not just one little thing adds up, but sometimes even smaller scale things can lead to this, you know, geometric or whatever you want to call it, exponential growth, where things grow by leaps and bounds because people get provoked and inspired, and all of a sudden the dam break. What we need to be working for is the dam to break. There are tens of millions of people who are really upset and angry about this, and they do come out, you know, they came out around the immigrant children, they do come out around different things, but the dam hasn't broken to where they say, to hell with playing by the rules here, and to hell with listening to the Democratic Party insist that we have to play by the rules and be civil. We've got to take to the streets. I mean, look, I, if you took one of their infamous polls, I feel very confident in saying that the great majority of people who are upset about Trump and everything represented by that, and not enough recognizing Pence, but nevertheless, you know, very upset by that, if you just said to them, agree or disagree with the following statement: Trump, Pence must go. They should no longer be president and vice president as of 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. I feel a great majority of people would agree with that. But then there's the question, are they going to act on it? And the ways have to be found to both challenge and provoke as well as inspire them to actually act on that and keep going at it in different ways until that dam breaks and they do actually bring their own actions in line with what they with their sentiments, which has not yet happened.
So that was an excerpt from Bob Abakian in a Q&A that followed a talk he gave called Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution, that's available at revcom.us. And you are listening to We Only Want the World with me, Sansara Taylor, here on WBAI 99.5 FM New York. And I have a guest with me. This is Andy Z. Are you with me still?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, listen, I think there's a lot in that clip that we just heard from Avakian that I would, you know, I could comment on, but I'd rather give you a chance first if you want to comment on what we just heard.
Okay, well, look, I think he got into a lot of stuff, and part of it, actually, I was cut off from it, but I know the basic argument there. But look, I think one thing there's some complexity here that people have to understand, and there's also a simplicity. The simplicity, the complexity is that you actually have a ruling class. You have a system that is not in the interest of the masses of people. That's not one unified group of people sit around a table and figure out how they're going to mess over everybody. They actually mirror the very system they enforce, one of competition all the time over who can exploit and oppress people more efficiently. And there's deep problems that the U.S. has in the world today as the sole superpower. And so this has been expressed in a struggle between two sections of the ruling class that has tremendous implications for the masses of people. Look, in relation to this Mueller report, Just yesterday, Donald Trump tweeted out that not only did he say, once again, this is an illegally started hoax that never should have happened, a big fat waste of time, energy, and money. But then he goes on to say, it's now finally time to turn the tables and bring to justice some very sick and dangerous people who have committed very serious crimes, perhaps even spying or treason, which still is punishable by death in this country. And this is directed at his opposite in the ruling class, as well as, of course, anybody else who would get out of line. And this is accompanied of extreme acceleration of fascist measures that they've been doing internationally in the last 2 weeks and actually at the border. And so you have to grab hold of this. And on the other side of this, you have the Democrats who are the targets of this and are opposed to it. They don't think it's the way to organize America. They do think you should have multiculturalism and all this and, you know, diversity, of people who align themselves and who will be happy to stand up in Congress and chant USA, USA, and not in the interests of humanity. But they have a different way to go at this. And I think people have to look at this that, and here's where the complexity needs to get a little simpler, that the masses of people really do, as we put it on RESCOM all the time, the masses of people have to go all out and mobilize ourselves in our millions to resolve this crisis in our interest, in the interest of humanity, which are fundamentally different from and opposed to those of the ruling class. And this means two things right now. Well, let me just say, first of all, fundamentally different from and opposed to those of the ruling class. The people of this country and humanity in the world has no interest in the continuation of white supremacy, of patriarchy, of oppressing and xenophobia, oppressing and demonizing and deporting and not outright killing immigrants. People have no interest in these continuing wars against countries, against the despoilation and destruction of the environment. All of these things are not in the interest of humanity. So we don't want to, in this intense struggle that's at the top of society, which is going to continue. It's not going to stop, even if Trump himself is impeached, because there's a huge forces behind it, and there's a social base mobilized in support of it. This isn't going to go away. And yet, we don't want to resolve this crisis or in a situation where you end up with, as we had for the last 8 years before Trump, the deporter-in-chief. a black president, inspiring to some people, but who nonetheless didn't really do anything significant to change the mass incarceration of black people or the murder of people of color by the police. All of this still continued because he was the enforcer of a system. So from where you or I are sitting, and what we want to encourage other people to learn about, is we have to get into why this system can't be reformed and why we need to overthrow it, and that there's a way to do that in a far better society that's possible, that's concentrated in the Constitution for a new socialist republic written by Avakian. But right now, all of us, including those of us who are working for revolution, need to get out and organize ourselves to get the kind of movement in the streets. And I understand there's some other groups, in addition to Refuse Fascism, who are beginning to say this, where we have the kind of protest that goes on in cities across the country that doesn't respect the normal bounds of protest, organized for 3 months, go to protest and come home, but actually sustains that protest, has been done in many places around the world, and not leave and not stop until this regime is removed. And that would clear the ground to be able to go forward for whatever future people desire, and in my case, and I think yours, I know yours as well, would be to be organizing to actually get rid of this and bring about something that fundamentally met the interests of humanity here and around the world.
Yeah, so I think what I'd like to do is invite people listening to call and join this conversation. I'm talking with Andy Z. This is Sansara Taylor with We Only Want the World. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. We're talking about the Mueller report, but what's in it, but also what are the implications of it? Why is this such a big deal? Why is there such a fight going on at the top of society? And where are the interests of the people in relation to all this? Andy, what you were just saying, I do want to tie it back. At the end of the audio that we just played from Bob Avakian, he said, and I think this is important because people feel so overwhelmed, and frankly, too many are allowing themselves to tune it out. But I can understand not the tuning it out, but the overwhelmedness of the magnitude of the assault on people's lives. It is true that 200 migrants were asylum seekers, were rounded up at gunpoint by white supremacist militias just in the last 48 hours down at the border. This is the kind of thing, and I watched some of the footage. They put the whole thing on YouTube, and I watched some of it, and you hear these guys, these white supremacists barking orders at human beings, and you could just imagine all the ways that the police say, oh, they moved. I thought it was a gun. I thought it was dangerous. How much demonization of these migrants has been done? And it was just chance, and it's just a matter of time before this turns into extra-legal massacres in addition to extra-legal roundups and all of this. So this is one dimension of it, but there's so much going on. But to tie it back to what we heard from BA, is he was saying, look, if you were to take a poll tomorrow morning, Trump-Pence would be gone at 8 a.m. Tens of millions of people in this country would agree with that statement. And that's important, but it will not lead to anything good unless it's acted upon. And that's a big part of what you were speaking to. And yet, and still, the very people that too many at this point are relying on and looking to are these Democrats who are, I really like the analogy that he gave. They are in the face of a fascist regime that is breaking the norms, destroying the norms, the ruling norms and institutions of society. It's analogous to somebody coming and setting your house on fire. And the Democrats are acting like they're going to use their house that's been burned down as a base, or these norms that are being destroyed as the means through which to oppose this fascism. And that is a losing strategy. And so I think it's a big thing for people to confront, but it's very important. There is actually a tremendous strength that the people have. But it's only by stepping outside the channels and the confines that this system has provided and corralled people into. It's only by going out into the streets. And fundamentally, it's only by, in the fullest sense, to get rid of a system that gave rise to this fascism and the normal crimes of imperialism. That's going to take a revolution. It's very important that people use this as a moment to confront the deeper implications of this system and all of our responsibilities and the tremendous potential that exists if we were to act on that, because this is not the way the world has to be. Now I'm seeing we have three callers. So let's get our first caller on the line. Hello, you're live on WBAI. What's your name and what's your question or comment?
Yes. My name is Gene.
James?
Hello? Gene?
Hello. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you? Okay. Yeah, I just talked about Fast on Thursday about sort of like this stuff, but this is great. We need more shows of this nature on BAI instead of so much of this other stuff that they have, which is not bad, but, I mean, we just need more of this. Okay, the class war that goes on, I mean, this whole class system, and you have to work so hard. They don't care what your life is. And I mean, I'm just struggling. I mean, it's incredible. I have a college education, and you just can't live in this. It's so discouraging, and there's just no help. They've destroyed the social networks. It's just harder and harder to get any help. The endless wars that go on, just wasting our money, and then they don't have anything for us. And the rising fascism that's taking place that you guys are just so articulating is just amazing. The Democrats and their inaction, I've seen this before, prior to even this. And that's about what I have to say. I mean, it's just incredible the way you're just putting it all together. Okay? And we need a new system would be so amazing based on the people and humanity as a whole, instead of the interest of this small ruling class that buys off the two parties, controls the media and education, and just has these people just accepting this as life.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you for calling. Andy, do you want to comment?
Well, no, I just would encourage, yes, I mean, except to encourage that listener and others, you know, to go to revcom.us and learn about that there is a new understanding of communism, a new communism has been developed by Bob Avakian that actually is something that people can take up and learn about and be part of, you know, organization, these revolution clubs that are forming around the country that we're going out trying to organize while in this period. And just to get into the work, because a lot of the conceptions of how the relationship between white supremacy and patriarchy and the wars and the environment, how they've been understood as something separate from or added on to the underlying to the class question is another question, as opposed to seeing an actual much more dialectically related historical process of getting beyond the kind of society that we live in now, getting beyond the kind of way that society is organized, which is to maximize profit that comes from exploiting humanity and the intense competition at the top of society overdoing that, and that the people have a fundamentally different interest in doing that. So I just recommend that he get into that. At some point, maybe if you want to take another question, I do want to get back into the point that you made, Sansara, about the nature of what we face and what has to be done about it, though. I don't know if this is a good time or if you want to take one more.
Let's take one more call, and then we'll take a moment and come back to that. I was just going to also say, in response to the caller, there's a feature on the RevCom website right now, and it's a really important thing. It's an effort that's underway, a two-week effort for people to engage what are called the points of attention for the revolution and to spread them, to actually lift other people's sights. And there was one thing in particular that the caller said that I wanted to circle back to, which was how beautiful it would be if we lived a different way. And I think he said, for all of humanity. And I think that's so important. And the first point in these points of attention is that we base ourselves on and strive to represent the highest interests of humanity, revolution and communism. And we do not tolerate using the revolution for personal gain. And so there's six points, and they're very much, they concentrate the goal of the revolution, the kind of world that actually is possible and that people need to be fighting for, but also the methods and the principles to live by now. And they're a form through which people can spread this revolution even as they're learning about it. So that's just something I would commend to everybody. And I really like that, what was said about humanity. So let's get another call.
Hello.
I believe you are live on WBAI.
Yeah, Tom.
Tell us your name and your question or comment. Pardon me?
I have this to say. We wouldn't be in this pickle between the devil and a deep polluted sea if only the Democratic Party would have had a lot of civility. refused a lot of civility for the public and saw to the public's needs and everything. They are as guilty as the Republican Party and Trump for not coming to the aid of basic needs. And we wouldn't be in this pickle if they didn't do that. There's too many people telling fairy tales, and everybody's talking at one time. There's a lot of the problem there.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling and sharing your thoughts on that. Maybe let's get one more call, one more comment, and then Andy, I'll let you respond to both of them and circle back to this point that you wanted to get to. Hello, are you live on? I believe you're live on the air on WBAI. What's your name and your question or comment?
Hey, this is John from Westchester. Great show. Really appreciate it. This goes back to the 30s with Eugene B. Debs, Socialist Workers Party, trying to create balance between, you know, the idea of ingenuity, investment, and also protection of workers.
You know, John, it's really very John.
Yeah, can you hear me?
It's very hard to hear you. Speak a little more closer to the phone.
Okay.
Much better. There you go.
Okay. Sorry. This goes back, it seems to me, to the 30s, Eugene B. Debs and the socialist ideal of, yes, having some investment and ingenuity and a return on investment, but at the same time protecting workers. I happen to be in the construction industry where high wages matter, but also you can't outprice yourself. So New York is becoming a non-union town. And we wanted to stay union. So there's a balance. Now, when Occupy Wall Street came, I thought that was a moment where small business people, people that weren't in the Wall Street game, could come out and support people that were looking for revolution, which I think a lot of us are, because what's going on now is actually insane. I'm being a history major and seeing this whole thing unravel. But if you don't get some business behind some money behind the revolution, it becomes what happened with Occupy Wall Street. When they're there, people want to join, but then they just fizzle away. And that was a chance back then to have a revolution that never materialized. And the problem now is you can't just run around in the streets. You can't be anarchists. No one respects that. There's got to be a combination of people with, yes, resources who care about all of the things you're saying, which make total sense. At the same time, the two parties now are locked in. They can't change it. But when Occupy Wall Street failed, I think we really, really lost an opportunity. I don't see how that can come back.
Okay, John? I'm gonna let Andy respond. You put a lot on the table, and it's very rich.
Okay.
So let me
go ahead.
Let me throw all this in Andy's lap and see what you have to say about what John just said, but also some of the other comments. I'll give you a chance here.
Thank you.
Okay, I do want to get back to the report and some of what that has to do, but let me just say a few things to John. First off, Eugene Debs was before the 1930s. He ran for president much before that, and the world was a little different then. But look, Occupy Wall Street was never going to be about or could be about an actual revolution. It was a significant development. It was a lot. There was a tremendous. It spoke to the inequality in society, and people felt that very acutely. But there was no no leadership, no strategy, and no vision of a radically different world. All of which exists in the new communism. And in fact, a revolution is not going to be made simply by getting a fair day's wage for the people who do the work in this country. First off, we're talking about emancipating all of humanity all over the world. In fact, this morning I was looking to put a shirt on, and I just happened to do what I've done before, is looked at every single collar, and they were being made in Indonesia, Bangladesh, El Salvador, and there you have it all around the world. So we need a different way of going at this and a different strategy for revolution, and we have that in the new communism, which I really commend to you to get into. Go to revcom.us and take a look at it and see that, in fact, the revolution in this century is not going to be of the workers against the bosses. It's going to actually be a different kind of revolution, a revolutionary movement that is actually not the same and identical with a labor movement, nor bringing about a worker state. I don't know that anybody would really want to live in a society that would necessarily be so constrained. Our approach to revolution is not to get to a situation where the last shall be first and the first shall be last, but to get to a situation where all of humanity is emancipated. That's a long and an arduous struggle, the first step of which is an actual revolution. And I want to encourage people to get into those points of attention for the Revolution Club as a way into the revolution, which you can find on revcom.us. But I do want to come back to, Sansara, if I can, the seriousness of the situation that we face that's indicated by this Mueller report and what the moving story you were telling of the capture of these 200 migrants on the border, or you could go to the week before where thousands were put under a bridge in the cold night at the Ciudad Juarez and El Paso border. We can look at veto of the trying to end U.S. involvement in the Yemen war. Look, this is a very serious situation. There are forces in this country numbering in the millions who have been organized into a fascist movement. And at the core of this is a Christian fascist movement, a particular political form of Christian fascism represented by Mike Pence. And you can see two things here in terms of these sections of the ruling class. Representative Steve King, who's probably the most outspoken fascist in a fascist Republican Party, said that, we've got 8 trillion bullets. And the other side is trying to decide what bathroom, arguing over what bathroom to go in. And right there, you can see, and in many other comments, that these people are actually preparing for and constantly talk about a civil war. That's what they actually, if it comes down to it, if they can't get their way through the normal means, that's what they actually want. That's why even a guy like Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, said, I'm not sure if he lost an election if he'd give up power. They have seen this since the beginning of Trump's campaign as their last chance to institute a different form of rule. But for the Democrats' point of view, you can listen to Nancy Pelosi, who was opposing going for impeachment consistently over the last 2 years, and more recently said, I just don't think Donald Trump is worth it. So right there you see, well, what does she mean by worth it? That he's not that he's not personally worth it. No, she means it's not worth going through the kind of struggle it would take to actually dislodge this regime. Because to her and to people like her, it's more important to keep their more perfect union together on the basis of what it's doing, including if that basis includes a fascist government.
That's right.
Than it is to mobilize the masses of people to fight against it. So this is where, Sansara, your point that in trying to deepen or get into what Bob Avakian raised there, people have to wake the blank up and look at what's really happening.
Yeah.
I have my own button here, right? We have to wake up.
Yeah, you did
up.
Your own radio cleanup. Wake
That's
the blank
right.
up.
We have to wake the blank up and face what's actually happening. Get out of your comfort zones. Yes, risk something. The only thing you're risking is the future of humanity. And how important is that to you? If it's not important, then go about your entertainment and sit in front of the TV and go through 700 channels. But if you care about humanity, if you care about those people on the border, if you care that women are losing the right to abortion, if you care about all these things, then you have to act in an according way. And that's what Avakian is getting at. To actually drive out this regime is going to take, yes, ultimately millions of people, but it can start with thousands in city after city demanding that this regime be gone. But for the perspective of the fundamental interests of humanity, people need to seriously check out this revolution that's been being led by Bob Avakian. It is radically different than your conception and what you know about communism and socialism. It's something that has the interests of humanity not only at heart, but actually has a very concrete plan for how to get there. He has analyzed what have been the problems in the previous revolution, and he's found some ways through them. He's thought about things that most people who think they know something about socialism have never even thought about, and he's developed a framework for the answers. He's done 90% of that work, but then 90% of the work of actually building that kind of movement that could actually bring about a better system, as well as the work to dislodge this Trump-Pence regime from power, that's on us. And people, listeners, really have to – this is not kidding around now. When you have – what you have in this Trump-Pence regime, and even what's revealed in this report, as incomplete as it is, on the one hand, it has plenty of stuff in it that indicates that if the people would act on this and demand that this regime go, that there's the basis for that to actually happen.
Okay, well, Andy, you have amazing radio self-bleeping and very good timing, because we gotta wind it up. But I do want to say for everybody listening, there is a website, Andy's referenced it several times, revcom.us, where you can find the work of Bob Avakian, where you can find articles from Andy, who you've just heard from, videos, and ongoing analysis of what's happening, as well as coverage of the tour, the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour that has us both out here in Los Angeles. I will be bringing you more news from the street on that, on what's happening with that in the coming weeks. And Andy, I want to thank you for being on the radio with us. I want to thank everybody who called in.
Great. So, Sarah, thank you. Yep. And also, tell people to go to refusefascism.org.
Well, you just did. Refusefascism.org, everybody. And also, thanks to Outer National for letting us use their song as our theme song. And if you missed any portion of this program or you want to share it with friends, please find it on the archives, WBAI.org. And follow me on Twitter at Sunsara Taylor. And last and very important, I want to send a special thanks to our engineer, James Irsay, who is making all of this possible. Much appreciation. And until next time, we only want the world.
Coming up at the top of the hour on WBAI, we have Mitchell Cohen live in the studio and guests. Stay with us.
We found your hiding, we found your lying, choking on the dirt inside. Your former glory and all the stories, dragged and washed with eager hands. But
hi, I'm Dr. Mambo. WBAI and World of Jazz Radio is celebrating International Jazz Day, April 30th, featuring New York's international jazz musicians banding together for a fabulous cause, celebrating International Jazz Day. Join us at Milk River, 960 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. Again, that's April 30th, International Jazz Day. This is Dr. Mambo from World of Jazz.
Oh, turn the music back on.
In a minute. First, noble human Homer Simpson will explain his primitive yet beautiful culture.
But perhaps Earth's greatest achievement is moon rocks. Oh, and the golden age of radio.
Ooh. Truly a species with much to offer.
Seriously? Are we listening to the same guy?
Yes, another unsolicited celebrity endorsement for the Golden Age of Radio. Join me, Max Schmid, for the best of radio's history. Comedies, mysteries, you name it, we'll have it. Programs you may remember, if you're over 80, and programs that you've never heard of before. All fascinating stuff, Sunday nights, 7 to 9, right here on WBAI New York.
This Monday, Americans will unite in celebration of our natural world and reflect on how we are doing in our effort to protect that world from harm. Hi, this is Patty Wood, co-host of Green Street on WBAI. And this Monday, please join us for a special edition of Green Street as we look at some of the issues facing our planet, including fracking for natural gas, polluting our oceans with plastic, and polluting the built environment with wireless radiation. It's all coming up this Earth Day on Monday morning from 10 a.m. to noon, right here on WBAI.
Saturday, April 27th, please come to a concert of Songs for Solidarity, featuring Mario Conkel, Lindsay Wilson, and myself, Judy Gorman. 100% of all proceeds will support asylum-seeking immigrant families now living with members and friends of the First Unitarian Congregation of Brooklyn in downtown Brooklyn. For info, please go to songsforsolidarity.bpt.me. S-O-L-I-D-A-R-I-T-Y.B-P-E. Songsforsolidarity.bpt.me. Thank you.
Coming up momentarily, we have Mitchell Cohen and guests live in the studio for you on WBAI New York. The time now is just about 8 o'clock.
Hi there. This